E1, number 21A.
So we will continue with our diagram which we have started to make on the Christianity order. Yesterday we just took out of that Christianity order that so-called family law, which is part of that second column of the divine nature of ideas. Now, we have seen how we can establish in consciousness really the great sense of an idea, so that every time an idea comes to us, we can see how big that idea is. And this is important because the human mind always would like to limit an idea, make it small and little, because a false sense of humility always tells us that everything should be small and little, whereas Jesus didn't have that sense of humility. He had the sense of humility that I and the Father is one. Actually, that needs a great sense of humility, because in that oneness there is no room for a personal ego. But on the other side, one can see that such a consciousness is really infinitely big, and so we do good that when an idea comes to us, we perhaps just go through that Christianity order and see that every idea that comes to us, you see, when I say an idea comes to us, I really indicate the Christ translation, what we did in the Christ order, that the Christ order is that where principle comes to us to the point of enlightenment in mind. And there we pick it up and put it into Christianity and say, all right, if through the Christ order the right idea in mind appears, then I put it back into Christianity and see that these ideas are all from principle, that ideas are principles, idea, and I take it away from my person and see it is born from principle and not from people, not from me. And then I begin to see in mind that really I have only to do with the realm of idea, because mind says all is idea. So that I also realize that principle comes to the whole realm of the universe as a nature of ideas and as nothing else. So I have principle, mind, all is idea. And the moment I see that, I go to soul and say, then in this case, each idea is identical in nature with principle. It's identified with principle. I get there that wonderful sense that the power of this idea is the power of the infinite, that the substance of an idea is the substance of the infinite, that the sinlessness of an idea is the sinlessness of the infinite, that the demonstrating power of an idea is the power of the infinite, that really the eternality of an idea is the eternality of the infinite, that really the form and standard and consciousness of that idea is the consciousness of the infinite, that I see that the plane of the idea is the plane of the infinite. And so I get the large sense that every idea in soul is identified with its principle. And through that identification I can actually see that via principle each idea is reflecting each other idea, that there is no competition between ideas, no friction between ideas, but that one idea in spirit reflects every other idea, that there is infinite universal reflectionship of ideas with ideas, and I just feel there is that clear transparency of universal reflection where nothing is there which is not of the nature of idea. Once I have seen that in spirit, that's that universal reflection of ideas in infinite relationship, then I ask myself, what kind of relationship is that? And naturally, the essence of relationship is life, truth, and love, where I see that each idea is fathering each other idea, that each idea in truth is sonshipping or affirming the standard of every other idea, and that in love, every idea is mothering or welcoming, protecting, cherishing, tending every other idea. And so I get the terrific feel of a universe of life, truth, and love. Not life, truth, and love as the word, but the universe of one life, one truth, one love. So that's what we have been considering yesterday, and now we can go to the next column, where we say, but how does such a ideational consciousness affect the human plane of manhood? How does it affect us? And that is what I would perhaps call true humanhood. And so we can ask ourselves, what does it change within the human if consciousness has accepted the divine nature of ideas? And I think if we go to principle, we begin to see that the human is affected in this way, that the human, because it knows that everything comes from principle, we begin to think in a principled way, that we are putting, so to say, our personal I out of the way, and that we begin to think in a principled way. So I will put here in principled. Our true humanhood is principled. We speak of a man of principle, even in the human, when he sticks to the human principles, say to the principles of law or moral or business or whatever it is. Much more so we should, when we have seen that there is one divine principle, see that we always go out in the human, when we reason in the human, to go out from a principle, and therefore we would call ourselves as principled or impersonal. You also say he is impersonal, meaning that he puts his person out of the way, and instead of having a person as the center of reasoning, we have principle as the center of reasoning. And that's how we start. And naturally, when we start with a principled sense in everything and not the personal sense of everything, then we come really to mind. And in mind, we could see, naturally, that therefore in the human, we begin to think in terms of ideas. I think mind is that where we say we are thinking in terms of ideas. I put this down, meaning really that we are not thinking according to our opinion, to human conceptions, material conceptions, to common sense, that our mind, our thinking, is really lined up to ideas and begin to think in terms of ideas and not illusions, that we are big-minded because we are thinking in terms of ideas, we are therefore big-minded. We don't have that limited sense where We always feel that we can't do a thing, but where we are big-minded because ideas, all is ideas, and therefore we have a sense of bigness of consciousness. And you can see that already with those two characteristics we begin to define really that human person which we feel is a wonderful expression of a high quality of manhood. The moment we can really say of somebody that he's a very principled person or a person of principles, that we can say of somebody that he thinks in terms of ideas and is big-minded, then we already begin to feel here is somebody who has a great standard. When we come to soul, then naturally we feel that because soul is the great identity, that every idea is identified with principle. That means in the human that not the ego is identified with the principle, but that we really are egoless, that we lay down, so to say, the personal self, so that we perhaps can here put down that the humanhood is self. Not really selfless, I think I take that out because it's a bit, I think selfless is a bit too moral. In here, I like that expression much better, which Mrs. Eddy uses right at the beginning of the textbook, that it is unselfed, without the self, unselfed. I think there is quite a good difference between selfless and unselfed, because unselfed means that you don't take any ego, any self into consideration. And therefore, your consciousness is really identified with a bigger self, with a bigger ego, which is soul. Actually, you have here as unselfed so many qualities which indicate that state of consciousness. Like, for instance, the third, we are here in the soul, the sense, the third beatitude. You know what the third beatitude is? Oi, 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 oi. Those compendiums are not studied, huh? Blessed are the meek, huh? You have the meek in heart, huh? Yes, the humble would be the same thing, humbleness. What's the other state? Actually, also selfless. Actually, here we get all those wonderful qualities which we like as a soul sense, that such a man has a certain amount of freedom, and with freedom, happiness, joy, that is brought out because of what? See, the moment in soul we identify everything with principle and no more with ourself, then we really have a sense of freedom, of happiness, of joy, of satisfaction. All those warm qualities of soul come out here. We are balanced. Here we get the balance of soul, the joy of soul, the happiness of soul, the beauty of soul. All that comes out here at that very point because they are all have a human connotation, happy, joy. We can't figure out that principle or soul itself is happy or joyous. This would be anthropomorphisms. But in the human soul, that big identity with the one principle where where we see that each idea has its identical nature as its principle, then our self falls and there is no more an egotistic sense there, and we get the sense of freedom, of joy, happiness, balance, meekness, humbleness. All those wonderful qualities come in, which we know from our study of the synonymous terms. So can you see, for instance, right here with these qualities, I haven't written them down here, but you can actually make your notes, that these qualities are qualities which we all love humanly. Everybody wants to be free, everybody wants to be happy, everybody wants to be in a state of joy and to be balanced and to be free. But how to get there? How to get there? How to get it? It's not enough just to say to somebody, well, drop all your sorrows and put them down and just be happy. Well, they can try it and they can succeed for a day or 2 days, and by some kind of human training and argumentation, we can make us believe that we are happy and free. But we aren't really. We are not, from a natural state of things, free and balanced and secure and happy and joyous within ourselves until we have arrived at that state of consciousness through, really, the categories of the divine nature of ideas. Only really that whole category which we have taken yesterday, going through the Christianity order and seeing the nature of idea, holding that in consciousness, really is that which gives us a natural sense of freedom, a natural sense of being not bounded by anything, because we are bound to principle here. We are in fetters to the Christ, as Paul would have said. So again, we can see that the humanity is only reached from the divinity and not the other way around. That not the better humanity enables us to reach divinity, but that only a conscious sense, a consciously conscious sense of the nature of idea, of divine ideas, precipitates itself or translates itself to the human in a natural way, that within us something is now satisfied, free. So these qualities in the human are, could you say, spin-offs of the divine. They are not something per se. They are not entities per se. And so we must realize here that the human is an outcome of the divine and not the other way around. Even that we see, even if we look right through it, we see that we don't have to translate the divine to the human, as we often hear. That people say, yes, that's fine that you study the divine ideas, but then you have to translate them into the human so that the human is touched by it. No. It is the very constancy of staying in the human that makes those qualities which we have here. Sorry, did I put it right? I think I said something wrong, huh? Yeah, but you notice it, huh? That's fine. You're right awake. Yes, I wanted to say that staying in the consciousness of the divine and contemplating the bigness of an idea and of all the ideas, that consciousness is really molding our human attitude anew. We are not going to translate it down, because if in the divine column here of the divine nature of ideas, say in principle, we see that everything is fixed in principle, that all ideas are principle's idea, and we stay there, then we are in the human principle. We do not have to translate it into the human and say, now I have to be principled. Then we are principled. And so it is with mind and with soul here, that if I stay in soul and see that the bigness of an idea is the bigness of the infinite, I'm free, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, I'm secure, I have a sense of security, I have a sense of integrity. See, all these qualities that come in here now under the unselfed attitude. Then, if we go to spirit and we see in the divine that each idea reflects each other idea, that there is therefore no loophole there, no creak in it, that everything is woven together in one web of consistency, then I really feel that we are single-minded or transparent in our consciousness, whatever we like to call it here. Then it is there where you just feel that you can see through everyone, that everyone or that somebody who has that attitude is so pure and clean that it is transparent. Gives a sense of spiritually single-mindedness. Let's put perhaps this down, spiritual single-mindedness. It's really transparency. Transparent or transparency. That's what the human is. It has really gone through the baptism of spirit and is washed free through the Christ translation. It's washed free. We had in the Christ the spirit that purifies and purifies and purifies. And so the outcome of it is in Christianity that everything is transparent, not opaque. Only the ego can be opaque. The moment we are unselfed, it seems that everything that is taken away, which would contradict or be against true reflection. Yeah. And then when we come to life, to the fatherhood of idea, where we had all those wonderful qualities yesterday of fathering, of giving, of maintaining, sustaining, providing, conserving, giving, feeding, projecting, always, you see, always giving out, out, out. In the human, this must show itself forth. That even in the human, that sense is there. And I think you get a sense of what, for instance, here in life, what is the fifth beatitude? Really, we get all the beatitude states in here in Christianity. What is the beatitude? Merciful. Huh? That's really the fatherhood. Huh? Merciful. What means merciful? Merciful means that we don't count the errors in the other, that we don't count the falsehood in the other, the wrong things he has done in the other, that we don't remember what is being done wrongly. Merciful is just starting every split second anew and giving, 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 giving the best of everything to everything. Without, to say, recounting the past, reminding of the past, what he has done yesterday and a year ago and so on, But that quality of fatherhood shows itself in the human as a terrific sense of mercy. Just giving the best, always the best, because we can easily give the best, because we have an inexhaustible well within us. Everybody can just draw the best of the best and give it to other people because he has an inexhaustible source of life. So we don't have to fear that if we give too much of ideas and high ideas to every situation, that we really could deprive ourselves of something. It is a sense of loving, a sense of exalting every situation. That's what the fatherhood does, that he exalts every situation out of a depraved state of being. It's that sense where in the human it shows itself forth as generous, magnanimous. We notice at once somebody as expressing in the human this wonderful sense of fatherhood when we just feel that he is constantly big-hearted, big-minded, that's mind, but giving, I think you say magnanimous, huh? Generous, huh? Generous. He doesn't need to be generous in the way of material things, not at all, but it is that sense that the best everyone has, he just gives out in a spiritual way. He doesn't hold back. I think in the spiritual one has that attitude, you know. If one sees something new in the spiritual, you can't keep it for yourself. It's a funny thing. If you would try to keep it for yourself, it would nearly explode you. It has to get out, because that's the nature of life. It has to come out and get out. And so when one sees something new in spiritual things and it becomes definite in one's consciousness, I really can't hardly anymore sit still. I have to get up in my room or in my office and walk around. I can't sit still anymore. It just explodes me. And then if I sit down again for a while, it explodes me and says, I have to give that to the others. That's the first motion then I get after that, that I feel, I have to go and give that to somebody. I have to share it. You can't keep these things back because their nature is life and therefore a sense of sharing it, that's fatherhood sense, sharing it, giving it, communicating it to the world.